All right, we're going to start the with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help me to glorify you tonight by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are, I've read through the material we're doing tonight. It's always amazing how simple Joe McHugh could make this. And actually, I met with my minister today, and he's studying the big book, and we're meeting every week. And he made a few comments about how well the book talks about that we have a spiritual disease. We're spiritually ill. And he really liked the way it was done. We agreed that God, this is God's message in the big book. Very simple. And how we can be what the scriptures tell us we should be. How do we do it? So the 12 steps are the principles to live a life in progressive sanctification in the image of your Creator, and to follow the will of God. It says in Matthew 7, if you obey my Father's commands, you will be in the kingdom of heaven and his will. And this is how we follow his will, and we get out of our will. And so the title of this for step two is "There's Solution Beyond Ourselves." Now that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But most alcoholics never get there, because the solution beyond yourselves means you have to give up your solution. And it says this is what sanity is, the ability to see the truth. And the first step is 100% about seeing the truth of my powerlessness, 100% powerless. I'll never be able to be powerful over alcohol or be able to manage my own life. And if I could see the truth, then we will be free from the problem. We also discussed today, Pastor and I, that I think everybody in this room has been given a gift from God of grace to get here. Now, some people don't follow through on it, but it's the ability to see the truth is a gift from God for any alcoholic. And then what you do with it, some people make it and some people don't. Some people make it for a short time and then they come back and they make it. And so so I have to see the truth about alcohol before I drink, right? I have to be able to see that it's a bad idea. And it says, step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I wrote some things that I have to see the truth about. I have to see the truth about my fears, that they're wrong belief, they don't exist. They're not in the now with God. I have to see the truth about my anger. It's wrong judgment. It's blocking me from God. I have to see the truth about what I need and to accept and change. I have to see the truth that without complete dependence on God, nothing changes. God is either everything or nothing. I have to see the truth that I'm not God. It took me a while. Anybody have a problem seeing that? Yeah, I mean, in fact, during the day, I don't even realize I'm becoming God again. You know, I was in line today at the food store, and there were people, they were taking other people instead of me. And I said, well, excuse me, I'm Michael the Magnificent. Don't you know that? And, you know, they need to wait. I didn't do that. I just said, well, they don't realize that I'm Michael the Magnificent. So anyway, nobody's laughing. See the truth that self-centeredness is the root of my problem. See the truth that I'm the problem. That's the hard one. It's not them. It's me. So it says, once we see we can't handle a problem ourselves, a whole new set of possibilities open up. Because then I can see that there's beyond myself. Then we can look at avenues beyond me. So, I mean, Sandy Beach did this Saturday morning live. Every week he recorded it. It was in the 90s in Virginia. And every meeting, he spent 20 minutes on step one. And the bottom line is that until you give up your plan, nothing's going to happen. And AA is for people who give up their plan and are going to try a different one. And AA doesn't tell you to do this, but why do people do the plan? Because their plan never works. So if you don't want to do the steps, fine. Keep doing what you're doing and see how that works. And so it's that's why the book was written, the book Alcoholics Anonymous, for desperate people. It's not written for people who had a bad day and took the wrong highway and got a DUI. It wasn't their fault. They shouldn't have had the last drink. Blah, 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 blah. It's for people who are desperate, who could see the hopelessness and futility of their life. So the second principle is the solution, which we can come to after we surrender. We talked about there are two surrenders in AA. The first surrender is in step one, where I am surrendered by the disease. I was brought to my knees by my managing the world and my being powerless over alcohol. And I didn't wake up and say, I'm going to surrender today at 2 o'clock. It just happened. And it was a gift. Complete defeat. I was surrendered. The soldier who lays the gun down, all the guns are pointing at him. And he finally lays the gun down. And then why would he ever pick it up again? See, that's the question. So alcoholics are surrendered, but then they pick the gun up. But I want to stay surrendered, and that was a gift. Now the third step, decision to not play God anymore, is a different type of surrender, that I can't run the world. It's never going to work. And I need a new director. But the solution that we come to, we only come to after we surrender, that we can't do it. I'm defeated. I need help. Now, when I was surrendered, I asked God, I said, got on my knees, I said, Jesus, help me. And I'm here today 20 years later, so maybe God did help me. I know he did. See, the central fact of my life is that I have a relationship with my Creator. And that's what it says on page 25. But I had to surrender. It took a lot, too. Anybody take a lot? A lot of pain. In fact, I didn't think I was going to live. I didn't think I'd be alive today. Surrendering means saying that something is beyond my control. Surrendering puts us in a position for a different alternative. So AA is an alternative for your way. Now, a lot of people don't like AA. They don't like the big book. They don't like the way it's written. They don't like some of the language. You know, who gives a crap? You're dying. And so surrendering puts you in a position to say, well, maybe I'll try this. And maybe it'll help me. Step two means we can now look for solutions. Sometimes our solution is beyond ourselves. He's talking about the car. Something may go wrong with the car, and we try to figure out what is wrong with it. We may say, oh, it's just the gas, or it's just the road, but we can't do anything about it. And this kind of behavior is sometimes just a form of denial until I either fix it or admit that it is beyond my ability to fix. Now, alcoholics try everything to manage their lives well and to figure out a way not to drink or to drink successfully, and they can't do it. And once you admit that it's beyond your ability to fix, then you can turn it over to someone who can fix it. Now, I heard the speaker say that alcoholics die on the hyphen in the first step. It says we're powerless over alcohol, dash, our lives were unmanageable. And a lot of people could see that alcohol is bad for them and they shouldn't drink. But to see that you're managing your life is completely unmanageable, is hard. And to give up management is very hard for an alcoholic, because we are the best managers, aren't we? And when I did my fourth step, I realized I wasn't a bad person. I had a bad manager, me. I should have fired myself a long time ago. I don't know why. I kept losing, and I kept running the same play. You ever see that play, the Chiefs run off tackle for 1 yard? And I said, well, let's run that again. That was really good. And they keep running the 1 yard play. And then they never score. And they keep play every game like that. That's how we lived our lives. And we have to first believe that there's an answer and then believe that we have access to the answer. Well, AA should be doing that. AA should be telling the new person, we have an answer. And it's in this book. It's in the first 88 pages of this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And Ann read it tonight, How Do We Find a Way to Live? But that's page 58. There's 57 pages in Doctor's Opinions on step one and two. So that you'll be willing to make the decision that you're not going to play God anymore. Now, it seems like a lot, but it takes a lot for alcoholics to give up completely on themselves. Now, this is really good. He says, believing is a state of mind we must have before we can begin any project. And that's true. It's an individual force that we all have, and believing defines the limits of our lives. And we can't get any more education than we believe we can. If I didn't believe I could go to medical school, I wouldn't have been pre-med. And then I wouldn't have done all of that. I had to start with belief. And he's going to talk about how we change. This is what this is all about. How do we change? Because we don't want to stay the way we were in step one, do we? Anybody want to stay where you were when you came in here? No. We can't make any more money than we believe we can. And believing actually sets limits. Belief is an awesome force. Everybody has it, but what matters is how we use it and apply it in our lives. And he talks about he went to the Black Hills in South Dakota and he looked at the carving of the presidents and he wondered how the sculptor ever came to believe he could do a thing like that. And we talked about Christopher Columbus and how he believed he was willing to go west to get east, and west was the end of the world, remember? And the map said the end of the world, but he believed he could do it. He was willing to change. He believed he could change. He made a decision to get the ships, but then he's still in Spain. And then he took the action and he went west. Remember, he was on the last ship so that he wouldn't go over the end. There were three ships, you know. So he was an alcoholic, Columbus. So he stayed in the last ship. And he sent the first ship further out with a special lookout. And then when he found land, then he knew. And he had faith and trust, and when he went the next time, he knew. And if he wasn't willing and didn't believe, nothing would have happened. The same with the Wright brothers, because they told him that you couldn't fly. And in fact, the reporter who witnessed it was afraid to print it. There was a reporter from the Charlotte newspaper. They flew it in Wrightsville, North Carolina, and he didn't want to print it. So that's how we do it. Our believing might be wrong, which is true, but if we believe wrong and decide wrong and run into bad situations, and we do that in AA, we have wrong beliefs, which is fear and resentment, and then I decide wrong, I make wrong decisions, and I take wrong actions. Anybody do that? So what you believe leads to what you do. That's why I like the St. Francis prayer. It tells us how we should be. And then if we be loving, we'll do loving, right? If we be understanding, we'll get understanding. So he says, if you're doing it wrong, all you have to do is come back and change what we believe and try again until you're finally successful. But you have to see that you were wrong. He says, a mouse never makes the same mistake again. But a human being is so emotional and make the same mistake over and over, maybe never find the right way out. When you look back at your life, those who've done your four step, isn't it amazing how you made the same mistakes over and over and over again? Believing is an important spiritual, and I wrote alcoholics die because they believe they are the manager. And I wrote belief without action is fantasy. People come to AA wanting to change, but they don't want to do anything. It's just a fantasy. Believing is an important spiritual principle, a spiritual tool. Remember, we have a kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. All we have to do is pick it up, these spiritual tools, and plug it into the God socket, right? And then our lives are good instead of plugging it into the Michael socket. I still plug it in the wrong socket. Does anybody do that? And then you get this jolt, you know, oh well, wrong socket again. And you just unplug it. And I try not to leave it in the wrong socket too long. Everybody has the power to use belief, but believing and not acting your belief is not much good. Did I skip two pages?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're kind of good. I'm not
Well, that's my wife. Oh, I'm going to have to fire her.
The mouse thing will make more sense if you tell the mouse story.
Thanks,
Steve.
That's a good story. For those listening on the podcast, my wife copied the chapter, but she left two pages out. So I'm going to go home and not even mention it.
Right.
You see? You got it? You see? I'm very spiritually fit.
Your own damn paper.
All right, stop it. Well, it's too complicated. I tell her it's too complicated. And she says, you say that because you don't want to do it. I said, well, you're right. But she copies it. All right. I always say that believing is an eternal force, a lighthouse that stays on all the time. There's no way to turn it off. So if we don't use it for ourselves, then we have to use it against ourselves. For example, there are people down their luck who have had to apply to the state for a little assistance. But instead of recovering, they sit there feeling sorry for themselves and come to believe that the little amount of money the state gives them each month is all they're worth. They sit there and gripe and complain. They develop this state of mind, this belief. The result, of course, is that their self-esteem is eroded. Now, some people have wrong beliefs about themselves because of the way they were raised, things that were said to them. And so we don't feel that we're good enough. And we want approval from the outside world because inside we don't feel like we're good enough. Anybody have that? I think every alcoholic has that. And we have to realize we are good enough. And what are we really afraid that we're not good enough for? I didn't realize that till I listened to this one speaker. I don't think I'm good enough for God. And that's my underlying fear. But I realize now, after studying scripture, that I'm never going to be good enough for God. God loves me the way I am. Believing is a choice. Believing is a tentative place. Now, you got to admit, I did a good job realizing I didn't have two pages, right? I just picked the book up. All right. Everybody on the podcast has turned it off by now. It's a place to begin even without convictions. I think the greatest difficulty we have with believing is that we want something with more certainty to start with. We want more assurance. I've had people say, now, I need to study these steps to see if I think they're going to work, right? Or do I really, you know, do I believe in this working? I said, well, do it and see if it works. Because AA says, we don't care what you think of this, and we don't even care if you do it. But if you do it, tell us what happens. And that's what the big book is. It's their experience of working the steps and what they found. And that's what we're supposed to be telling people, what happened to us, where we were and what happened, and what's like now. And so we want certainty, but we can't. We expect faith before we start, but believing comes first. I've talked about that a lot in the different meetings. You start in AA with belief. We don't start with faith. Because faith in AA is trust. Now, how do I know and can trust God? Because when I've worked the steps, God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. I'm sober. When I get angry, I ask God to remove it. He removes it. When I have fear, I ask God to remove it. It happens. I'm being inconsiderate. I say, God, help me be considerate. It happens. I trust God. Remember, we have to live on a different basis. Do you remember what basis it is? Relying and trusting on God. Why? Because when we're relying on self, it never works. And so we want faith, but we start with belief. And then he's going to talk about the process of change. And he says, he has a chart here. It says believing, decision, action, and faith. And underneath believing is the willingness of the first step. And so I have to believe that I can change. And why do I believe? Because when I came in, I met people who told me how they changed. And there are people here tonight that maybe I've helped because I told them how I changed, so they may want to do this. Everything man has accomplished began in his mind. He had to first believe that he could do something. We usually think that the beginning of a project happens on the day the foundation is laid, but it's actually long before that. When she came to believe that everything was possible. We use this every day and we see the results of it. We don't see the power of believing, we can only see the results of believing. And the results are everywhere we look. Each and every one of us has the power of believing, and no two people have it alike. I think it is surely guided or directed by some force beyond ourselves. Because if each of us believed the same, each of us would accomplish the same things. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. So it is given to us on an individual basis to produce an individual talent to provide a certain service in the world. It's not so much about our ability, it's the spirit, it's guidance. God plants within us the seeds of the tasks that he wants done. Each person can believe that he accomplishes a specific role in the plan for the world. That's our job. Remember, my job is to do God's will and to stay close to him. And God's job is to take care of me. And he says the happiest the person ever going to be in life when he's accomplishing the tasks that God gives him to do. But a person who's dependent on a substance such as alcohol or drugs, who's dependent on someone else, doesn't have the freedom to use that power of believing because they're dependent on the other things. They believe that the substance, the drug, that someone else is going to give them the right, is going to make their life better. It's going to take away these feelings, but it's God. And they have these negative feelings about the world because they're running the show. And you can't, and it's an inside job. Remember, we talk about that. We don't fix the world in AA and get better. We fix ourselves, and the world's just the world. Sometimes, though, we are affected, inhibited by what other people think. Anybody here worried about what people think? Anybody not do that? Everybody thought, I'm all worried about what you think of me, so don't tell me if you don't like me after the meeting, okay? I'm not that well yet. If you don't like the meeting. Just being silly. Everybody thought Columbus was crazy because they knew the world was flat. In fact, they believed that the earth was the center of the world. Do you know why? Because they lived there. If I'm the center of the world, where I am is the center of the world. And guess what? When they believed they were the center of the world, nothing made sense in the solar system. So when Galileo explained, hello, the sun's the center of our solar system, then it all made sense and everything worked. So once we can see that we're not the center of the world, that God is, then the world makes sense. When we're searching your way out, this is where the mouse is. I missed this page. The mouse in the maze. You put the mouse in the maze when he comes against the wall, he searches for alternatives. He won't keep pushing against the wall. The alcoholic will keep pounding on the wall. Move the wall. If you ever put him in there again, he will remember the right way and go right through. He believes one route will get him where he wants to go, and he finds out that the choice was wrong, so he tries some advantage. No, I skipped two pages. Alternative way. So am I back on my notes now?
Yep.
All right, good. That was scary. All right. So then I talked about we're emotional. We make the same mistakes over and over. We never find the right way out. And I talked about it, believing is a spiritual. If you believe in God and still run your own life, it isn't doing any good. And we talk about it. People say, well, I believe in God. Their lives are a complete mess. I said, well, how's that work for you? Why isn't it working? You believe in God, but you get in your car and you run the show. And so we believe in God, but we never let him run the show. So how do I get faith and trust in God? Is I let him run the show and see how it works, and it's really good. So then when I'm running the show, I say, no, God, I want you to run it. It's better. It works better. That's why we have the chapter to agnostic, those without knowledge of God. People believe, say they believe, but they've never allowed God to work in their lives. Believing is a state of mind preceding all action, good or bad. This is very important for people to understand. Step two says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves. We have to come to believe that there's an answer. AA tells you there's an answer. It tells you that in the foreword to the first edition. We are 100 men and women who have a hopeless condition of mind and body. We're going to tell you specific directions on how we've recovered. But you have to see that you have a hopeless condition of mind and body. If you don't have to see it, you don't want to read the book. When your mind is given a command by the power of believing, you direct your energy and begin the search, and you will find the solution. The human mind is an awesome thing. First, we have to, but remember, where does the alcoholic's problem reside? In the mind. So here they're telling me we have to use our minds, but you don't get to use your mind in AA till page 85. when you can carry a vision of God's will in all your activities. That's where you get your will back. But why is our mind the problem? Because we have wrong beliefs. And it's the result of me being the manager. And that's all your fourth step is looking at your life run on self-will and why it didn't work. And your wrong thinking and then your wrong actions. And if we see the truth, then we will be free from the problems. And meetings in AA should show us the answer, not the problem. Some meetings just show us the problem. Well, that won't help the new person. They need to see the answer. They need to see someone who had the same problem but has an answer. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free." Truth sets us free from the lie. That's really important. I can't lie to myself anymore if I'm living in the truth. And I can't lie to myself and say, I can drink tonight, it's going to be okay, until I can see the truth. And I can't see the truth without God, because I'm an alcoholic, and I can't see the truth about alcohol right before I drink it. Why? Am I stupid? Because you can't, willpower won't work. Well, why won't willpower work? Well, because right before you drink, you only think about what it's going to do for you, not to you. So you have a hopeless condition of mind and body. Now, if you have God, and he's managing your life, he says, Michael, bad idea. Let's not do that tonight. Go sit in there and watch the ball game. You don't need to drink. You see how that works? It's pretty simple. Somebody tells me, bad idea. Now, I wasn't capable of doing that until I had my relationship with God. And he says, each of us is constantly seeing the truth. None of us sees the truth whole. Only God can do that. But we have an interpretation of the truth we can see, and yet many times our interpretation of the truth runs us right back into the lie. Now, what's the key word in there? My interpretation of the truth turns me right back into the lie. And what do we get in AA? We get a new pair of glasses. See, if I'm seeing things through these glasses, these are God's glasses, by the way. But if I take them off and put on the other pair of glasses I have at home, and they're Michael's glasses, then I see things wrong all day long. So if I see something I don't like or disturbs me, I have to take off Michael's glasses and put on the God's glasses. And God says, well, gee, it's okay, wait in line. You're retired. You get it? And so I can't see the truth on my own when I came in here. The truth has got to come from somewhere beyond us. It can't come from me anymore, because I'm the problem. My mind's the problem. Truth has to come from outside of me. That's the problem with AA. Everybody has their truth and knows everything when they come in here, but their lives are an effing mess. And they're not going to give up on their thinking and their what they're doing. And how's the only way we're going to give up on that? Pain, the first step, being willing to believe. Step two is powerful, but step one has to be done before step two. The power of believing is plugging in to begin to find the truth, to see a different way. And people will tell you that they're proceeding from the truth, and they are, but it's the truth that they see. Now, if the problem centers in the mind, my truth is killing me, because it's really not true. Who told me it's true? I did. I see somebody there. I said, well, why didn't you come to the meeting last night? Well, they give me all these reasons. I said, well, who told you that was okay? Who told you you didn't need to come? You see, that's the same person that's going to tell you to get a drink. We have to stop listening to that. There's a powerful talk on XA Speakers about the vulture and the bedpost. And he talks about his mind was killing him. And he had to say to his mind, when his mind would tell him these things, he says, what's your source of information? See, he's telling me these things, and I have to look at it now and see that it's the wrong information. I can't do that till I have a relationship with God, until I do steps four. He says, from the a person has to really examine his perception of the truth and do it frequently. Isn't that what we do in step 10 every day? We watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. What does that mean? We watch for when we're not seeing the truth. And then we ask God at once to do what? Remove it before it crops up. Now, I can't watch for God's truth if I'm in Michael's truth. So I have to be in the world of the Spirit where I'm with God so I can see things through God's glasses. And if I'm back in Michael's world, I had that chart which had my world and the world of alcoholism, and then down an arrow to God's world. And then 1, 2, and 3 helped me move out of my world, take the actions to get into God's world and live in the world of the Spirit. And then I have to do those actions all the time to stay in that world with God. And I have to believe that that world is better than my world to want to get out of it. He says, and I'll end with this. I didn't finish the chapter, by the way, because I was missing 2 pages. Well, I could go a little longer. I think for the very first step, surrender. You guys are killing me. I think for the very first step, surrender, we start to get it, because surrender produces the power of believing. That's why you have to be completely defeated. You can't be 98% defeated, because the 2% will keep you believing you still have a way. You have to be completely surrendered. And it says surrender produces the power of believing. There's no way you could see or believe the truth until you surrendered what? My old perception of the truth. I'm seeing things wrong. I have to surrender that I'm not seeing it right. So when you come to AA, you don't realize any of that. It's all them and circumstances. But when you come to AA, it's you. And it's the way you see the world. And you don't like the way you see the world. So what happens when an alcoholic doesn't like the way they see the world? What do? They drink. Because it changes the way they see the world. And it works for a long time, doesn't it? Until it stops working. And then it takes over. It takes over your life. Change actually begins with surrender, because you can't see another alternative until you surrender your way of doing things. So there's a surrender in step 3 to make a decision to have God be director, but there's a surrender in the first step that my way of doing this is never going to work. Then the dominoes start to fall. And what do you really surrender? Your way. It's not complicated. And I have to believe there's a better way. And then here's what I really believe. Any way was better than my way. I think that's how you know when you're really defeated, when you're willing to go to any length. You ever heard that read anywhere at AA? You're willing to go to any length, and you have the desperation of a drowning man. And you'll do anything because to change the way it is. And then they have these dominoes: willingness, belief, decision, action, results, faith. And the first time I listened to Joe and Charlie, and they went through this, I said, wow. Because how do you change? When you come to AA, you want to change. You have to be willing to change, believe you change, decide to change, take the actions to change, and then you're changed. You're in the world of the Spirit. You're not the same person. And then you have true faith. But here's the problem. Unless you keep doing it all day long, you're going to go back to where you were. It's a continuous process. But you learn the tools, and then most days you spend more time in the world of the Spirit than you're not. And when we inventory at night, our day, we're really looking, how much time did I spend at peace in relationship with God, and how much did I not? And what was the result when I was in relationship, and what was the result when I was in? It's pretty clear. It's not complicated. All right, so I'm going to start with the bottom of page 33, next week, and Wednesday, Saturday. Don't let me review, because they're always on my case. Here, give me a pen, so I'm going to mark it. Thank you all for listening. I hope it was helpful.